The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Good evening. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I'm trying voices. Matt Serra and myself talked to Dustin Poirier, and we also talked to Cody Garbrandt today. Very fun episode, and Cody gets interrupted, and no one likes it.
He may finish it here.
Oh, he's out.
Kick out. It is all over.
Full knockout.
He got rocked.
UFC and digital media present UFC Unfiltered. With Jim Norton and Matt Serra, powered by digital media, find your voice. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Indeed we are. And whoever uses this studio before we do,
can
fucking,
go.
What are they, commit a homicide on this fucking counter?
Look at right there.
It's just gross. It's all sticky shit.
And somebody's going to think it's you. They're going to be like, Jim jizzed all over his...
So annoying.
Over the desk.
I know I sound like a prima donna, but how about this? I hate to say this as a grown man, but if you make the counter sticky, how about you clean it?
Yeah.
If I have the decency to wipe off a girl's back, the least you can do is wipe off this counter.
Yeah.
Although I have been yelled at for not doing it, so I understand how
no?
you forget once in a while.
Yeah.
And someone else puts their hands in it and they're angry.
Right? Well, it's, you know.
Fucking annoys
me. Is
that
me. How I start it off? I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm annoyed.
You know what I'm not annoyed about?
What?
How great Dean Thomas was on
he
this
was
episode.
So much fun, man.
He's a fun guy. He's got a good laugh. It's a funny laugh.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Oh, he enjoyed man. Himself.
I believe in, do you believe in energy, like good energy from people?
Of course.
Isn't it so true?
Very true. People are
you know?
Shitty energy. There's nothing worse.
That's right.
Toxic energy. There's nothing worse.
I just put on what Chris the producer was talking about. I just put on Instagram one of my guys. I gave Joe Mungy. I killed his last name. I call him Slim. I haven't called him Joe in my life. I gave a black belt out last night, and this guy is just such a talented guy. So good. And, you know, he doesn't fight or anything, but he helps get all my major players, like Weidman, everybody ready for fights, because he's just such a good jiu-jitsu practitioner. So I gave him a black belt last night,
That's
and I put
great.
That on Instagram.
Did he know he was going to get it?
No, I don't. I'm old school with that, man.
How did you give it? How's a black belt get given?
You could see it right on Instagram. It's right there, man. After a hard night training, I lined everybody up against the wall, and all the black belts are usually sitting with me in the front. Why? Because they deserve to be there.
Sure.
Guys put their time in. So, and then, you know, I usually talk about either really quick after, I mean, this is Tuesday night classes. It's a rough training session.
How long is it?
We start at 6 and we get done by around like whatever, 7:20, 7:30, whatever it is. But it's a lot of rolling, a lot of training, a lot of black belts, a lot of just beasts, you know? So it's a really good night for training. And afterwards, we usually congratulate somebody. Like Aljo came in last night. Everybody's clapping for him because it's the first time he came in since his fight. So everybody was, I should have taped that. Everybody
yes,
was clapping for him. And then I make announcements on upcoming fights or upcoming competitions. Whether it be, a UFC, a big one, like a UFC fight or a mixed martial arts local thing, or even a grappling competition coming up for guys that did well. And then, you know, once in a while, I'll break out a promotion, you know, break out a belt.
And no one knows it's coming.
No. Just a couple of my my right-hand men, you know what I mean? So that's it, man. So after class last night, was a good crowd there. And I go, it's time, man, because this guy's strangling my black belts for a bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Had he been asked, did they ever ask you, hey, when am I going to get my belt?
If anybody asked for a belt, I learned this from Henzo Gracie a long time ago. Because back in the day, I remember, you know, this guy wanted his blue belt. Hey, man, could you ask Henzo you know, man, you know, when he's going to give me a blue belt, my buddy Dario back in the day. So I went to Henzo and I'm like, Henzo, you think Dario, this guy's up for a blue belt? What the fuck is that? How loud is that? Is that dog Lewis. Barking? Yeah. Yeah, we hear Lewis. Does Lewis know we got a show? Listen, I love dogs, but Jesus Christ. Jesus. People don't like my barking. They probably heard that.
On the yeah, actually, dog in the next room and the sticky shit all over the counter. You, what the fuck is this
place?
You can't
have me telling a story and then all of a sudden I hear fucking Benji in the other room going ballistic. I'm gone. I don't even know where I was. Bring me back.
You were talking about having peanut butter on your genitals?
Yeah, you know.
The dog no, somebody was asking you about a blue belt. Henzo handing out a belt.
Oh, yeah, shit. See, now you brought me back. Yeah. And I like that dog, but I'll punt that thing at the fucking window. I'm only kidding, Jimmy. I wouldn't do that to the dog. Wouldn't. I love dogs.
You're a good boy.
But anyway, so I told Henzo, and Henzo goes, well, yeah, who he asked? Man, I don't look at him for another 6 months. I go, yeah, Henzo, fuck. He goes, man, you never ask for a belt. I go, all right.
That'd be a funny video to have. Like, if I join your class and I'm really like, people you say, like, yeah, it's Jimmy, he's been training and I'm really below average. And then you award me with a black belt in front of the class, how annoyed they'd be.
Yeah. I go, this guy, listen, he's been training hard on the side. Gave him some DVDs to watch. I'm going to give him, you know, I don't want to go crazy with a black belt. I'll give him a brown belt.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, you can't give a black belt. I don't want to, you know, make it like he didn't earn it.
They'd be so mad.
Yeah, they'd be pissed.
They'd be very unhappy. So, I want to see the video.
What video? Yeah. Oh, a video of Slim?
Yeah, I want to see
Oh,
the video
look at this. Give me that phone, man. And people could hear it. They could just hear what's going on. And it's not the sound effects from... What the hell just happened to my phone? Oh, good.
I'm looking at my phone. Believe me, it's a lot different what's on my phone than your phone.
Yeah, oh, dude.
You can...
All right, that look like I don't... Oh, wait, hold on. Now I got to start it all over. Well, now you just hear clapping.
Wait, where's the thing about you giving it to him?
Well, you know what? How about this? I got a longer version.
Yeah, there you go.
I got a longer version where you hear me just give a little speech, you'll get kind of the feel of what goes on at Sarah BJJ. What the fuck am I doing?
Yeah, because the Instagram one starts with you just saying Slim.
Yeah, because you know why? I wanted to get in everybody, giving them the
a little
the props,
love, yeah.
The love. It shows the camaraderie at Sarah BJJ. You know,
I want to hear Matt's speech.
All right, well, you know what? I start off with. I mean, let me see if this captures it. I don't know if you can get everything in here because it's kind of low. Let me see.
This Saturday, Lauren and four other of our kids are fighting.
Yeah, some people with fights coming up. That's what I'm talking about. Lauren.
What is it? May 7th.
I'm getting to it.
Now,
I'm
going to be 43. That's freaking depressing. Thank you. Yeah,
I break out the belt.
No. Oh. I can't deny this might be a little low to do.
Oh yeah, it is.
This guy eats black belts for breakfast. Slim. Yeah.
That's great.
Isn't that nice?
That's cool.
Eats black belts for breakfast.
Oh, there you go, Slim.
I've had the same thing said about me, but you put in belts. Okay. Hey, that's so awesome. Now, do you think Slim knew it was coming in that little second, or was there other guys who might have been like
the second I said it was overdue and I broke that thing out, every single person knew who the hell that was.
All right,
for.
Good.
I got my
Slim got his black belt. That's amazing. That's a great moment for a person.
Yeah, that guy. Now you look at that guy, and he just looks like a tall, like a lanky, almost like a pretty boy.
How long has he been training?
You know what? That's a good question.
More than 6 years?
I'm going to say probably around that, if not less. I mean, I can't tell you how quick this kid took to jiu-jitsu. It was like almost like it was just in him. You know what I mean? Like he just, his body, like you could be mounted on him and like he's the type of guy where it's almost like he could suck his own thing. You know what I mean? He's like so flexible. Sure. Where did that come from? But he's that flexible where you could be anywhere on him. Like you could be like north, south on him and he could just take his legs up. Put them on your back and he'll scoop himself up and he's on your back. Like he's just one of those guys, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And man. He's a dangerous dude. No? And he's such a great guy. What a nice guy. You can tell, listen, I'm gonna break these fucking headphones. I'm gonna throw them out the window.
They're terrible. They keep cutting in and out.
It keeps cutting in and out. Where are we?
I don't know.
What is going on in this studio?
I don't know what happens. When we leave, I reset the whole thing.
Let me tell you something.
Who's here before us? The NBA?
The Sirius building. I'm gonna start kicking things. You know, I got the patience of Cody Garbrandt is what I got.
We do have Cody calling in shortly, and we also have Dustin Poirier on the phone as well today.
Yeah.
Cody is this season of The Ultimate Fighter has been excellent. I've watched all three episodes, and boy, the fucking beef between Cody and TJ is really simmering, and it's real.
Yeah.
It does not feel fake. It feels absolutely legit. These guys don't like each other. So I'm going to say, Cody, when you won the championship, were you happy? Would you hate me if I just asked shitty fluff questions?
Yeah, yeah.
When you won, did your hand hurt from throwing karate chops?
We should just do a whole interview like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Who did you meet that was famous?
Who would be the, who? What fighter, most of them would be cool and just like answer them as though you were asking real questions probably. Who would be the fighter that would just be like, what the fuck are you doing? What's your?
Who would call you out on it? John Jones probably would go like, what? He might answer one and then go, what?
Right. Cowboy.
Cowboy would definitely say
man,
something.
Man, well, you ran. I mean, my first rodeo, man.
Yeah.
He'll give a response like when Chris told him to get closer to the mic. What the fuck? He just looked at you with disgust.
Absolutely. Cormier would answer your questions for a little while. I mean, you know.
Guys will try to, you know, they probably just.
They humor you.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Dana would laugh and answer one and then just.
And then just fucking, you know, be annoyed. Get off the phone with us.
So, yeah, a little bit of. A little bit of fucking static happening. Anderson Silva.
Yes, yes.
I love this shit.
Let's talk about it.
I would love him to have. By the way, fighters, I hope fighters know that if you call in the show, if we talk to you about something, you're not going to be edited. Just, I know people think, well, you guys are the UFC's podcast, so fighters might be hesitant to say things here, but nothing you say is going to be chopped out, as long as you're not libeling somebody saying that, you know, somebody's a cocaine addict, they're not.
Yeah.
Right.
But no one is going to edit you here. It doesn't have to be, whatever it is. If you're mad at the UFC and you want to say it, you can say it. I mean, they understand that. It's a business. They're not stupid.
Do we find that shit out? I'll walk out. No, I need this job, Jimmy.
Me too. I'm not going to But no, I would be very, very angry if I found out they were
assassins. I'd be angry too. I went too far, so I'd walk out.
Anderson was furious about GSP's middleweight shot. He goes, look, when I signed my last contract, Dana White, Lorenzo, I do a pretty good impression. They said, okay, when GSP is back, you go and fight Super Fight, you and George St. Pierre. Now, I don't know what happened. Nothing happened.
Oh.
George St. Pierre is back to fight and fight for the belt. It's terrible. It doesn't make sense. I know it's a fucking business, but I'm working hard for a long time. GSP goes back and fights for the belt. I win my fight in London against Bisping. Why no putting me for fight with Bisping? I mean, I'm reading this in the cadence that they wrote it down. I don't care for the belt, but I won that fight in London. Why not put me in the fight because George is not ready to fight with Bisping? What the fuck is going on?
Ooh.
He said he's retiring unless he fights for the interim belt, middleweight belt against Joel Romero at 212. Why would there be an interim belt?
They're saying that what he calls not fighting quick enough. Or
yeah,
something?
They're saying Bisping. I mean, he wants to fight,
but
for an
technically,
interim belt Bisping's not.
Come on, like, just it. Technically, he didn't win that fight. That fight was. I mean, he's saying.
I know what he's. I know what he's
well,
saying.
Well, he's saying he feels he won in that fight.
Right. Yeah, he's saying he at least earned a rematch.
Yeah,
but
then again, he did kind of lose to Brunson, and they gave him the decision. So that's how it all comes out in the wash.
Karma.
He said, I'm tired. Trust me, I'm so tired. I just talked to my team today, and I talked to my friends and my family. I am tired. If nothing happens, if this fight doesn't happen anymore in Brazil, I'm done. I won't fight anymore. I'm done. The guys don't respect my story, don't respect my legacy. Everything doesn't make sense. I don't believe it. It's fucking crazy. So he wants to fight Yoel Romero in Brazil. I guess he is furious, and after Kelvin Gastelum fuck that up. I don't know. How do you fuck up a fight with Anderson Silva in Brazil? Do we have Cody on the phone?
Yeah, he's calling right now.
Okay, cool. Is this the bantamweight champion, Cody Garbrandt? How, buddy? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Jim and Matt?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
What's up, homie?
I'm doing great. What's up?
Good job so far, man, on The Ultimate Fighter. I don't watch every episode of every season, but you and TJ are so good. It's obvious that you guys have a genuine, real displeasure being around each other.
You know what, it was, for me to be around TJ, it wasn't bad for the first, I don't know, week. You know, it was weird because Dwayne and TJ, they kept coming up to me and trying to congratulate me on the win, and you know, Dwayne kept trying to shake my hand. I'm like, Dwayne, I'm not here to be friends, I'm not here to be cool with you, I don't like you, we've never been cool. Don't try to come up and congratulate me because it's fake, it's a backhanded comment. I saw you go on the media and say Dominic was hurt, he looked off, this and that. I'm like, don't say nothing. Don't go out of your way to you know, be fake and try to compliment me on my win. I said, give me a little bit of credit, but you don't. So you can just keep it at that. That was like the first day of filming, you know? So I was like, it was just weird. And then proceeded them trying to be nice the whole time. And I know they're true callers. So it was just, for me, it started getting old to me. I'm like, all right, this nice guy act, it's off of the cameras, you know? I just kept it who I am, you know, the rational, in your face, you know, person that I am. You know, I don't like being around fake people or people that lie. You know, so I don't never deal well with that. I never have. And that's raw emotion for me.
Yeah. No, you're definitely emotional. I definitely relate to that because I'm pretty emotional too. I like that you say the rational guy, and it got bad eventually. The first week, don't you grab TJ by the neck? No?
They showed that. I think that was the first. I don't know how they, you know, the producers put that. I don't think that was the first week because I was there a whole week. I remember because we had to do the pre-taping and the stare downs. Yeah. And it was just awkward because TJ was being so nice. I think the first time we squared down, TJ looked at me and he's like, man, you grew. And I was like, man, I just looked at him and I said, no, USADA came in. You know, USADA came in. You just shrunk. You know what I mean? And he was like, looked around and was like, oh, yeah, it was weird, man. It was like these guys were coming, like, trying to be too nice. Like, it was so awkward to me. And, yeah, I think that was the second week that I grabbed them by the throat.
Well, Matt was right. It was really funny, though, because, like, you guys, you know me. I'm pretty rational. In the first episode, you grabbed this neck. But dude, I loved it because, there's no bullshit with it. And the animosity doesn't feel fake. It doesn't feel like, hey, these guys are trying to sell a fight. Like, before this happened, I was like, I want to see these guys fight because I knew you guys had a genuine, and you're both great fighters, so it's a real thing.
Right. Yeah, it's an appeal to it because TJ, I mean, he's a great fighter. He's a great, you know, in this life I need worthy opponents, and he's one of those opponents that's going to make you grow in the octagon and grow as a fighter, grow as a human in there. So, yeah, he's great. I've always wanted to fight TJ, you know, since he departed. He had the belt, and then he lost it, and it was Cruz, and I, you know, took it from Cruz, and now it's TJ. And you know, TJ's, his last few fights, have, you know, he's done well, I mean, against his, sure, his competition. So that's, you know, and then obviously the added former teammate, you know, the way he left, how he continues to lie. It's just, man, I just really want to beat this guy's, you know, face in and then move on in this chapter because it's, you know, he's wishy-washy in the media and then he's, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, then he'll send me a, you know, private message saying, it's all kinds of dumb shit. I don't know, man. He's lost. He's lost.
And, Connor, let me, as a fan too, like, you know, again, I've spoken to you, and I know Uriah, so I tend to believe you guys because I have more of a relationship with you. But TJ is denying it. Like, how are fans supposed to differentiate? Because, like, especially that conversation between Uriah and between TJ, where he's like, hey, look, you gave me an ultimatum. No, I didn't. And they're the only two that seem to know the truth of it. And it's like, how is a fan supposed to differentiate exactly what happened? It's really hard to weed through it all, you know? There's so many bad feelings.
Right. The thing is that there was never ultimatum. You know, that's the thing that upsets me the most, that I don't care. TJ, that ship has sailed about him leaving and what he did to the team. I don't even care. You're gone. Cool. Don't continue to lie. No one ever gave you ultimatum. No one ever told you to this or that. This guy came in. I almost got kicked out of the Ultimate Fighter when Connor and Faber were coaching the show.
Right.
And I stuck up for Faber and Feely, and what it stemmed from was TJ. You know, he's my teammate, so I'll fight for anyone on my team. You know, that's something that I'm loyal to. This Team Alpha Male is something that saved my life. You know, something that was a fixated point where I needed to get to. Thought that I needed to get here as a teenager to be a world champion. And really, man, it was a focal point that I needed to, you know, an outlet. I needed my destination to get to be a world champion. And really, you know, to hone my skills as a martial artist and grow as a human around these great, great humans. But the thing is, that TJ was, you know, we asked when that whole thing was going, we asked TJ, like, are you with us? And he's like, I'm Team Alpha Male. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, so he's saying this and Connor's saying that. So I'm like, all right, this is the guy that's giving us his word. A man is only as good as his word in a handshake. So TJ's giving us his word, you know, saying that he's Team Alpha Male. And then the next week, he's moving to Colorado, having a meeting with Faber, saying he's just doing this. And then he can't represent the team. But he still wants to come out here and train when he's in California. And Faber's like, if you can't represent the team, man, you're not on the team. I'm sorry.
Right, sure.
And then he would come to the gym crying in gym street clothes, literally crying to our teammates and trying to recruit them and saying that Faber kicked him out of the gym. I remember sitting on the walls on the mat, and I got up and I overheard, you know, him talking in his little whiny little voice. he throws it in. I got up and I was like, TJ. I'm like, TJ, that's not the deal, bro. I was like, don't even sit here and try to lie and spread these lies. You didn't get kicked out of the team. You chose to leave the team for money. Go, be gone. Hone your, you know, just do it. Just leave. Don't come out here and make it worse. You know, like, just leave. And that's what that was. Now he's going on and saying, you know, he the ultimatum that he was kicked off the team. It was never that. Hey, go ahead. I don't care. If you feel good with Dwayne, go with Dwayne. You know, that's fine. You know, the way there's, I would have respect for TJ if he did it differently. You know, Joe Benavidez left, you know, around the same time and did it respectfully. You know, had his wife, you know, wife now out there, and he did split camps up. You know, out in Vegas, his wife lived out there, and he was honest and communicate with everybody that, hey, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I feel good with. We're like, all right, cool, you know, that's fine. And you know, you don't see him getting, you know, the team hating him. We still hang out with Joe. You know, Joe's still, you know, we still hang out. Joe's still cool with Joe. The way TJ did it was straight bold-faced, lied to everybody, the people that was his like best friends, and he's still saying in his interviews that Justin Buckles and Danny Castillo are his best friends. It's like, how can you be best friends with someone that lies and just continues to lie?
It's the way he went about it, basically. That's what you're saying, compared to how Joe did his thing.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. I think things could have been way different if TJ was manned up about it, was just real and didn't lie to everybody about it. And I would be cool. I don't care if he left the gym or whatever. If he feels good with Dwayne, that's good. You feel good with someone, go with them. You know, I might have my uncle that, you know, I moved out here, but I still bring my uncle out. You know, that's who I've had since the beginning. So I can kind of relay on that. Like, he feels good with Dwayne. Okay, but don't sell out everybody else and lie who brought you up. That's the thing that I'm about. And that ship sailed for me. Like, it just, the reason why everyone wants to go on the media or ask the fans or why are you guys acting so crazy when he left and Joe, and you're not acting like that toward Joe. It's because Joe did it differently.
Sure.
And TJ is still continuing to lie about everything. And then it's everybody on his team that was his friends for the past 10 years is like, dude, we can't wait for you to smash this guy. We're tired of his lies. He's just lying through his teeth on national television. So that's where we're at with that.
Well, Cody, there's an old expression. It's not the crime, it's the cover-up. Like, if what you're saying is accurate, which it sounds like you, at least you believe it's very truthful. Like, when Nixon, you know, did the thing that, like, if he had just told the truth at the end of it, everything would have been okay. And sometimes that's the way it is. Like, you just got to go, hey, man, this is why I left, and it wasn't maybe the best. And then everything kind of goes away because it's out there.
Yeah, exactly. That. And then I think even still, like, the whole show, I kept, like, whispering in his ear. I'm like, bro, just say, admit, be real with it. Like, I was, like, by beside each other. I was like, man, just admit that it was real. Admit that it was real. Admit that that happened. Just admit that the way you did it was wrong. And it'd be cool. Like, I have nothing beef towards TJ. It's more the team and, you know, I don't care. I don't have to like TJ, and I don't have to not like TJ to go in there in a octagon and try to knock him out, you know. He's trying to, like, go in there with the less beef. He thinks it's a level playing field for whatever reason, you know, because he's not just fighting me. He's fighting all his former teammates and friends and people that built him to the world champion, and he left them, you know. So he's not just fighting me on July 8th, and that's what he wants to try to reconcile the beef with everybody. And it stems with me because he's the one that's got to get locked in the cage with me, and I'm, you know, it's not going to be a fun night for him.
And very importantly, thank you for not smashing me for mentioning Richard Nixon in a 2017 UFC interview. I am a true asshole. But now you guys are very competitive with each other. As of right now, last night, Jesse Taylor defeated Mehdi Baghdad. Am I saying his name correct? Now, you're down 3-0 to TJ, which I know as a coach that's got to be very frustrating because you're a good coach and these guys are all really good fighters, but you can't make them do what you want them to do in the ring. So how are you handling that?
You know what? It's I've dealt with loss my whole entire life, so it's like, God, it's still uncomfortable and the feeling that you want to do, but literally we're trying to get these guys, you know, in a short amount of time that we have them, we're trying to just give them the best tools they can, but still they got to go out there and perform. That's what they're not doing. We're right there in a lot of these fights, and they're just not performing, and TJ's guys are capitalized on it. TJ went in with the game plan, got invested. I went in, you know, with my coaches telling me not to get too invested in these guys and, you know, not to become so driven on winning or losing or because what matters is July 8th and my fight with TJ. But it's hard not to. You get to know these guys as, you know, as rather just not fighters, you know, and TJ is very competitive. That guy would, you know, like I said, he would sell out his mom in a game of, you know, chess or whatever. So he wants to win, lose, whatever. He wants to do that. Me, it's I'm not getting invested in that, but we try. I brought in the best coaches for them guys. I'm not the best coach. I'm still a student in the game, learning every day. I'm in there helping him out, but I brought my coaches in to help coach because I'm a fighter. You know, I'm not a coach. TJ wants to portray that he's a coach, and he does this and he does that, which is good. You know, he gave him a lot of attention and from the episodes that I saw, so that's good for him. And
well, Cody, to start interrupting, what you just said kind of is the next follow-up question I was going to ask, because he criticized you and saying you didn't care because you weren't at the ring, but then you just say, hey, look, I'm not a coach. I brought coaches in. I'm a fighter. Is that because those guys you think are a little bit better ringside and because they're more used to coaching and you don't want to do it just for the ego of doing it?
Yeah, you know what? I, for myself, you know, maybe I'll transition in the next, you know, decade when I'm hopefully, or however long I'm fighting for,
sure.
Lord willingly. I'll go in there and coach, but right now I'm not a coach. You know, I have better eyes when I'm in there fighting. You know, I see everything. I see the openings. You know, my coaches have more experience than me coaching and fighting. You know, I don't. So that's what I felt like. Third person in the cage, it can be more of my coaches that, you know, see, but I would sit there on the sidelines and coach and holler out. And, you know, I feel like I'm in the fight a lot of the times when I'm fighting. So I'm up shadowing and, you know, those guys are more calm. They've had that experience. I haven't had that experience coaching. Not saying that I can't coach, but something that I'm not ready to do.
And Justin,
TJ, you know, he wants to say that I was, you know, that it was selfish of me not being on there. I'm not these. How is that selfish? I'm not the best coach. These guys are way better coaches than me. So I'm for the best coaches in the corner. It's not about me. I can sit on the sideline and let those coaches go, and it's good to help my coaches get the recognition that they deserve. You know, they don't, they put in all the work. They put in the work, the whole series or season, to coach these guys, you know, out practices and grinding them through these, you know, for little pay. They should get recognition. They should get the camera time. They should get that. Cause that's ultimately, they're the one that trained these guys. I was in there training with them and doing the practices with them, but I wasn't coaching them. And I'll come out and say that. I said that since the beginning. I'm not the best coach.
Well, you know, it's also too, because the unique, it's kind of like when Matt went back in the house, you're not coaching guys who are brand new coming up, trying to get, these are all guys who are veterans who have been around. So a lot of them have a lot of fight experience. So it's kind of hard to tell them, you know, hey, do this, when they're like, yeah, we know that, we just didn't execute it. So I think you're smart to think that way. And Justin Buchholz was on and he said, he confirmed that there was indeed a tape of you knocking out TJ and sparring, and our own Matt Serra has seen it.
I did see it.
I seen it.
Yeah, I think
so. Anyone who thinks you were making that up, you certainly are not making that up.
Oh, I know. That's the thing. I don't have to lie, and that's the thing. I never wanted to come out about that. The only reason that I did say something in the media about that is if you look back on Dominic Cruz, TJ Dillashaw sit down with John Anik. Dominic's like, oh, yeah, you beat your teammates up. And TJ's like, yeah, as a matter of fact, for the past 3 years, I beat them all up. And I was like, oh, pump the brakes. I was like, I don't remember me laying on my back looking up at the lights. You know what I mean? That's what I said. And then it portrayed into this. And Justin actually has the video. It's not even my video. Justin has a video on his GoPro. I remember that day, like, four people got knocked out. Justin knocked out someone. I knocked TJ out. But that's the only thing I said. It's practice, you know? So it's sure. Like, you know, come out about it. I don't want to share the video. So I said, hey, pick a charity and we'll donate the money. So, like, do some good for it if you don't think it's true. And the thing is, like, TJ knows it's happened. That's happened a couple times. And it's like, and he's just like, dude, we have video proof of it. So everything you say, the video never happened. It never happened. Right. Or I got knocked out and don't remember it. That guy, after that happened, that was the second time it happened. He chased me, not chasing around the gym, but he followed me around the gym for like 30 minutes saying that he slipped. I'm like, dude, let it go. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you slipped or I knocked you out or what. I don't care. I saw what I saw. You got up after that and did the stinky leg across the gym. I know it's like, it doesn't matter. It's gym. But that gave me the supreme confidence. You know, this is a guy that's hitting his pinnacle. You know, it's hitting his, you know, right before he won the world title, and I'm doing that. I'm 1-0, 2-0. This is 3 years ago, two and a half, 3 years ago. I'm 10 fights, you know, better. Not saying that TJ, since he's left, gotten worse, but he sure in the hell hasn't gotten better. He went from knocking guys out in the fourth and fifth round to not knocking anybody out, or not even knocking anyone on their ass in 2016. So that's performance based right there.
So Scott, I'm sorry to interrupt. He has to get to training.
Oh, who's this? Who is that?
Joe.
Cody, go, Mom, hang up the phone. I'm on the phone, Mom.
Yeah, it's like you're the kid. Mom, I gotta do something here.
Mom, you're embarrassing me.
Hey, remember back on the phone line when you call your girlfriend like fourth or fifth grade and Mom, get on, all right, Cody, time's up. You're like, oh, we're just getting.
You're like, no, Mom, hang up.
Yeah. You're like, and your thing is, I'm gonna knock him out in the second round. Cody, your room's a mess. All right, guys, I gotta go.
All right, Cody.
I had one more question for you. First of all, congratulations, dude, on getting engaged. Your fiance is gorgeous. And, you know, was it weird having TJ tweet a congratulations to you?
You know what? No, I was like, hey, it's cool, whatever.
Sure.
And then this guy goes on and says how much he, you know, found his love and da da da. And then the guy messaged me yesterday, direct messaged me. He's like, man, people don't know what to do when we're not talking shit to each other. I'm like, talking shit to each other? Like, I don't know. He's just posting stupid ass, like, Pinterest memes and, or, you know, those
memes,
quotes
yeah.
and stuff. Yeah, memes, whatever. I don't know how to, yeah.
Hey, I'm like you, Cody. I would have called it, memes before. I've always fucked that up. I always fuck it up.
Yeah. I've been saying quotes from now on.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so he did that and, like, messaged me. And to get people don't know, I genuinely, you know, gave you my well wishes. I'm like, it's cool. Like I said, he just doesn't want. He's trying to have no beef going in there. He thinks it's a level playing field because he's trying to have no beef. And it's, I don't have to message him back. It's whatever. Like, TJ, I thanked you for, you know, giving me the best wish. It was awesome. I mean, it was a great time to go out there. I have a video of it, actually. It was pretty crazy. We went on a spirit quest. Long story short, I proposed to her, and she, like, got shocked. And she was in shock and obviously said yes. Well, didn't really say yes. She shook her head. I think she was a complete shock, started crying, you know, got emotional. And we were on these rocks, and there was uneven rocks. And she, like, hugged me. I almost fell off of the rock. And we wound up on these big, you know, vortexes in Sedona. It was hilarious. So I'll probably put the video up later or whenever. You know, it's our memory, but it's pretty funny.
Before you go, how did you say it? Did you say, I want to spend my life with you? Or did you actually do the traditional, will you marry me? Or did you say it differently?
Well, I kind of did, like, a mix of Rocky and my own little, like, flair. But I was like, hey, I don't know, we were standing on top of the vortex. And said, I wouldn't mind spending the rest of my life with you. This is beautiful out here, huh? Something like that. And then I got down on one knee, and I said, will you marry me? Would you mind marrying me? Now Rocky's like, hey, would you mind marrying me? I said, would you mind marrying me? And she thought we were taking a picture because we had our spirit guide beside us, and I gave him a phone, told him to record it. And she kind of looked at me like this look like, what the hell are you doing down there? Get up. You know what I mean? Like, but I was like, oh, okay, will you marry me? And then it hit her, and then she just broke into tears and said, yeah. So it was a good memory. I actually got a little emotional too. I thought I had it. I was walking up this mountain. I was out of breath. I'm like, man, I'm out of shape. Like, I just was nervous to, how am I going to say this? How, you know, I just met this guy that I'm going to give him my camera and tell him I'm going to propose to yesterday, our spirit guide. It turned out great, man. It was all organic and just happened. And it was great, man. We had a blast out there. And, you know, I went out there for myself, our relationship. But now it's on. I'm here back in Sacramento and healthy. I have my health. I have, you know, my family, my fiance and my teammates. I'm just ready to go get back to the grind. You know, that's something that I love to do. You know, I love going and traveling and doing all these other things with the platform that, you know, with being the UFC champion or being the UFC fighter or whatever you call it. But I love being out here in the gym, you know, blood, sweat, and tears with these guys and helping them advance in their career and helping me keep advancing in mine. So I'm excited to get out here. And today's sparring. So first day, you know, second day back, and it's sparring with some killers. So,
well, yeah, good luck, buddy. It's congratulations, and you're a great guy, man, and I'm really, really happy for you. I was happy when I saw that on Instagram. And get the training, and thank you for a great season so far, The Ultimate Fighter. You and TJ are awesome together, and it feels organic and real. And again, man, we'll see you July 8th. Good luck to you.
Yeah, champ.
Hey, I'll probably talk to you guys before, I hope.
I hope so, too, man.
Awesome, man. Take care, Cody.
You guys.
All right, be good, buddy.
See you guys.
All right, champ.
What a nice guy, man. I really like him.
Yeah, man. He's a solid dude.
By the way, the pressure on that other poor guy when Cody Garbrandt hands you his camera and says, I'm proposing to my fiance to not fuck up that shot.
Well, who's the spirit guide? What was that about?
I don't know. He said, you know, again, a lot of guys.
I was going to ask, but I was afraid the mother was going to pick up the phone again, whoever that lady was.
Ask him next time, because a lot of people have these spiritual guides, whether they're guides through sobriety or guides into religion or just spirituality or connection. A lot of guys find a lot of comfort and a new way of life in that. It's not uncommon. I've heard somebody else just say they had a spiritual guide. I don't remember who. I read about it, somebody. But I think it brings peace and calm and, like, you know, who knows? In that crazy sport, all that fighting going on, all that pressure, maybe it helps to have somebody who is not a coach. Sometimes you want somebody who will tell you things who's separated from you. Like, there's a thing in sobriety you do where, like, you have to do something where you confess all of the things you've done wrong to somebody. And it's a spiritual cleansing. It's not about going to jail. It's not about being judged. And a lot of times you'll do that to somebody you know, or they say, if you don't want to, find a clergy person or a doctor, somebody who you don't know, who you can just unload on. Sometimes a spiritual guide is a little detached from you as opposed to a coach or a good friend. So they'll tell you shit that other people might be afraid to tell you.
Like a therapist.
In a way, yeah, they'll see things. By the way, this is why I love Matt Sarah. Matt's right hand is on his head right now. I literally couldn't be... No, I couldn't be making a more boring speech. I apologize.
No, I'm listening to you.
I know, but I'm sick to my own stomach about myself. I'm the worst.
Oh, no.
What are you talking about?
A lot of times...
You have a therapist? You do therapy or no?
This is what a goose egg I am. I've had therapists, because sometimes the penis doesn't do what you want it to. And...
what does that mean?
Sometimes it just doesn't stand up when you tell it to.
Oh, you had a hard... You had erection problems?
I did it one time, yeah.
Oh, really?
At one time in my entire adult life.
Crystal Pratusa! Yes, Crystal Pratusa!
He's fired.
He's fucking...
That's no laughing matter.
The best one ever.
That was perfect.
Fucking perfect.
I had a doctor one time, a male doctor. I hate male therapists. I always wanted women because they're easier to talk to. Yeah,
but aren't you afraid you're going to want to, like, fuck them?
Not the ones I've hooked up with. No.
Oh, really?
No, I'd rather fuck Chris's beard after that. These women have... this one guy fell asleep while I was talking to him in Highland Park, New Jersey.
Oh, that's so great.
I'm like, are you awake? And he goes, sorry, I had a long night.
Come on, that is...
Yeah. But good luck to Cody. He's very believable. Very hard to, you know... And again, TJ is too, though, so I don't know. I like both of these guys, but...
Listen, people leave the team, they go where they belong. I told you, Henzo Gracie said that to me a long time ago. Master Henzo taught me many lessons. I have to have him in here again.
Yes, I would like to meet him.
What are you reading?
I was reading Jesse Taylor. I was saying how great he looked in that fight last night.
Powerful guy.
He looked unbelievable in that fight. He's a guy, in a way, I feel bad for because he got cut. It's after season, I don't remember, was it season 7?
I don't know.
So
long, I don't remember. Yeah,
and he didn't lose. He lost because he partied a little bit. And
he had a predestined thing, though. Like, he's like, I was going to win that. You never know if you were going to win that fight, you know. Because didn't people think, who was it that beat Court McGee or somebody that beat Uriah Hall? Who?
No, it was Gaslam.
It was Gaslam, Uriah Hall. Yeah. It was my first instinct. In the Ultimate Fighter, it's like a lot of times the guy you think is going to win doesn't win. So, you know, I don't think Jesse should be saying that he definitely is going to win there.
He's got to be confident.
But he fucked up. He blew it. You know, he blew it by kicking out that limo window and telling
people. Who was he supposed to meet in that season?
I do not remember.
Chris, I'm making you earn your money today, Christopher.
But Dana, you know, in fairness, I think that was Forrest, and I forget who else was at Rampage. And he said, you gotta go. I think it was season 7. And he said, you know, Dana's a ballsy guy. Like, you know, again, he has those two big galoots with him, but he's still a ballsy guy to be able to, he doesn't have a lawyer do it. Dana looks at you and says, look, this is not working. You're out.
You know what do you think of karma? You remember Quentin Jackson's season when he'd make fun of that big guy? He called him titties.
I don't remember.
Now Quentin Jackson's got some titties.
Does he really?
He's a little heavy.
Why? Let me see Rampage Jackson.
Fight. He got a little bit. You see with his shirt off?
He's still Rampage Jackson, though.
Yeah, listen, I like him. I'm just
wouldn't
saying,
fuck with
karma.
Him. Matt Sarah said that, not
I,
me.
I 100% said that.
So don't hit me if you see me with those big fists.
Fuck. You can defend yourself.
My point is this.
He was attacking that guy and calling him titties. Well, first of all, in his defense, he is funny. It's one thing if you say things that aren't funny, but he was hurting that guy's feelings.
He is a funny dude, titties, though. You know what? You but know? If you called him titties, he'd probably be like, I know. Do you want to breastfeed? Like,
yeah,
Rampage wouldn't
it.
Be offended
by
that.
I don't think he'd be offended.
Yeah, he talks a lot of shit, but he's a funny guy.
He's a funny guy.
So I think he'd handle it. I don't think karma is bad if you're teasing somebody and you can take being teased.
That's true.
If you could take being joked that's about, true. And I think he could. Karma is bad for the guys that are fucking bullies.
Yeah.
And I thought of you. I was talking yesterday morning on the radio show. There's a big scandal about this family, a YouTube family, where they were bullying their own kids and making prank videos about it. It's really sad. They were doing these videos where they were pranking the kids. But their own kids were crying about it.
How's that a bully? Like
the father was like bullying his son.
Oh,
And it was really a cunty move. But I thought of you while we were talking.
Why
about
is
it.
That funny? That was it
exactly.
To be funny?
It felt like it was, and it had a lot of views. But it felt like legit bullying.
I don't like that shit.
Nah, I didn't like it either, man. Yeah. It was really. I thought of you though. Like you, it would really have annoyed you.
I hate it. I there's nothing I like because it's usually miserable people. Or guys that are just they just want to feel good about themselves, so they try to put somebody else down, and it's that type of stuff. And And bullies are just the worst type of people. And I despise them.
But I don't see Rampage as a bully. I see Rampage as a silly dude who can take being teased. Like if you can take being teased and you like being made fun of and fucked with, that's a different energy. That's a fun energy.
Yeah.
You know, because I love making fun. Like Patrice O'Neal, the great comedian Patrice O'Neal who died. Patrice, people thought was a bully, but he was not, because Patrice would make fun of guys who were a lot bigger than him, too. And the loudest guy in the room.
Who the fuck's a lot bigger than him?
Oh, yeah, I've seen Patrice fuck with some big, like, legit stacked guys.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, guys that could have fucking smashed him. Yeah. Or mentally big guys, strong guys mentally, guys who are loud. Patrice would always go after them first. He didn't go after weak targets. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a guy I respect, a guy who can make fun of. Yes, Chris, look at something.
I think he was supposed to face Amir Sadala, who ended up defeating CB Dalloway in the finale there.
I don't remember. So.
By the way, we got cut off. We were talking about the Anderson Silva stuff. We never kind of wrapped
up. Well, we did. You know, in a way, he just said that it's fucking crazy is the last thing he said. So I guess, look, I don't want an interim fight with him and Yoel. I'd love to see them fight, but I don't need an interim belt when the champion's going to fight. Like, when's he fighting GSP? It couldn't be that far off. July, right?
I don't think July. But within a few months, I don't think it's going to be
what
that
long. What are
they
waiting for?
I think he said he'll wait till September. Maybe I'm wrong with that, but I thought
that's
what
I don't
he
mind
said.
That. And any word on Connor fighting? What's he doing? The whole fucking title, the thing's vacated now. I mean, not vacated, but it's just inactive, I should
say.
What is going
on? We could ask Poirier about that, too. But.
Yeah, I am.
When's he calling in Poirier?
Calling in shortly. Is it Poirier or Poirier? Minutes.
I mean,
I never know. I'm going to ask him.
Poirier.
It's Dustin, right?
Yeah, Dustin.
Well, it's like Sidney Poitier. It's Poitier.
I'm not going to even try that.
I know. But, you know, Dustin's two recent losses. I have a couple of questions about what they have in
Dustin
common.
Just came off a win.
No, but he did have two recent losses. He beat Jim Miller. But before that, he lost to Johnson, and one of his more recent losses was other losses to Connor.
Oh, yeah, the Connor was a while ago. Though,
but I'm saying those were, I think, his last two losses.
Oh, okay.
Am I correct or incorrect? Gone now!
Yeah. Since the Connor fight, though, he won... I'm going to say how many, and then he lost to Michael Johnson.
He won five in a row, then lost to Johnson, and then won.
Yeah. Actually,
so he had one hiccup with Johnson.
His last two losses were to Johnson.
He's 5-1 since going to lightweight.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting about this. First of all, I like the matchup a lot. And
Boy, do I. They both
Eddie
have something.
Eddie Alvarez. Oh, Eddie. Well, right
Eddie
now, Dustin did redeem himself after that loss.
Sure.
And... you know, he's had losses where he's like, again, he lost to Connor, came back, went on a 5-fight winning streak and looked awesome. And, you know, I was there when he beat Bobby Green. And
he lost his featherweight, right? Sorry, Matt.
Yes. And then he went on a tear at lightweight.
So now I wonder if it was anything to do with the weight cut that cost him that. I mean, we'll ask him that. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, then he lost to Michael Johnson. And then, he went to beat Jim Miller. And Jim Miller is no slouch, man. That's a feather in your cap. And he's always getting that fight of the night. And,
I have a theory.
Hi. What is that about?
I'll bounce it when he calls in.
Oh, you're not going to say it now?
No, I got a theory.
I shouldn't do that. What is that about?
What?
Me clearing my throat, but go ahead.
Me, coffee does it.
I know.
It does do it.
No, it's not good.
Would you guys mind if I read a couple of... people found me on Instagram. They're excited about the show, a couple of comments.
Don't you know it always goes back to him, Jim?
No, I know it does.
All right, go ahead.
Go on now.
Something tells me you're going to be mentioned.
Yes.
So Liam sent this to me on Instagram. He said, "Hey, Chris, the producer, hope you're well. The podcast is still mine and my brother's favorite. However, there's a couple of things I think you need to sort out."
Ooh.
Is his brother's name Noel?
Yeah, this is Oasis.
Oh, great.
Got in touch with me. Matt hasn't barked in forever, which is funny because you did bark actually earlier.
I did bark earlier.
And we feel this is unacceptable behavior and need to bark at least once a week.
And you know what? Some people hate it. I've had people, before I got off Twitter, like, "Oh, I can't stand the, he barks," and I'm a grown man. I'm like, "Oh, go fuck yourself." Let me have fun on here.
And then he says, "Number two, could you possibly give Jim a big old bitch slap for not bringing his tour to the UK?
I'm going to.
You are. I talked during it.
I'm going
Ruined
to.
Ruined everything. That was my fault. I should have given you a little wink first.
Ow, it hurt.
All right.
I am going to go to England. I don't know if anybody in England wants to see me.
I think they do, Jimmy.
People want to see
by the way, are people in Canada fans of Jim Norton? Let's hope so, because I'm going to be in Montreal. What a plug.
Are you really?
Doing two gigs, nice. My Canadian friends. I'm announcing here July 28th, 29th at the Montreal Comedy Festival at the Jesus. And two shows, like one the 28th, one the 29th at 9:30 p.m. Tickets are on sale. You can go to jimnorton.com or the Just for Laughs website. These are small theaters. So any UFC fans in Montreal that want to see me, come on out and you will see me doing my nonsense in Montreal.
Too bad I'm not a stand-up.
It's fun, dude.
Because I'm a grappler. No.
Oh, come on.
But they're not all gems. But listen, this is my point. I mean, I could be on the road with you.
That would be great.
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm literally not.
Be afraid if I couldn't follow him, though?
You know?
I don't know if there's any, like, I'm doing a bunch, like Oslo and all these places in Europe by the end of May, 26th through the 31st. So I'm hoping that people come out and see me. I hope there's some UFC fans because we're heard there.
Man, let me tell you something. I think you got tons of fans.
I don't know.
I think you do.
I don't know, Matt.
I think you do.
And I don't want to give this away because it's not set in stone yet, but somebody might be in an upcoming episode of Looking for a Fight.
Well, if he's back from Amsterdam in time, he will be, yeah.
Are you talking about yourself in a third person?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't going to say it was me. I want to blow the surprise.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hopefully you are back.
I hope so, too.
Because now I just said that.
Yeah. It's so much fun to hang with you guys.
Oh, I mean, listen. I have such a good time. And Dean Thomas, obviously. Actually, he's not going to be there.
I know.
I don't think he's going to be able to make it. But that's why we need a third guy. And, you know, our hearts are set on you.
And I would love to do. I'm going to be overseas. That's where I'm doing my 5 dates in Europe, in Norway and Copenhagen. So I'm hoping I'm back in time. I'm dying to do it.
Copenhagen.
I've never been to any of these places.
I just like to say it. It's fun to say.
Nice 30 people per show, I'm sure, watching the kid go up there and redoubt his career fucking decisions.
And really quick, how'd it go last night? I know you're doing new material. Where were you last night?
Just at the Comedy Cellar. It's been going great.
Where is the Comedy Cellar?
West 3rd and McDougal. It's where Louis shot a lot of his show.
I see. It's in the opening of Louis.
117 McDougal Street. Yeah, it's a great club because they're very honest. And I bomb a lot there. I've had a lot of jokes not work there. It's part of what you do.
Yeah.
But everyone who works out, like, you know, Louis goes on there, Amy, Aziz, like whenever they're in town, or Seinfeld or Chris Rock, that's where they'll work out because Gotham too, but more the Cellar, I think I see them at.
How long has that been around for, the Cellar?
Comedy Cellar, early 80s. There's pictures in the wall like of Andy Kaufman being there like 1981.
The 80s is when I think the stand-up was like the most
That was
booming.
The boom.
That was the boom, right?
Richard Jenny theorized. You know Richard Jenny, who passed away, committed suicide, unfortunately. He was a brilliantly funny guy.
Wait, Richard. Yeah, I do.
Really
I
great.
Do.
He theorized that AIDS had something to do with it. Like, people were going out and doing, and AIDS hit in the 80s, and he thought, like, people just wanted some, like, other activity. So here's stand-up. Hey, let's go out and do that, as opposed to a lot of clubs where you're trying to get laid. And it was, I read his, it wasn't a bad theory. It sounds like he was joking, but he actually wasn't. It was a really smart way to look at it.
Why do a lot of comedians off themselves? It's not funny.
I know, a lot.
It's not funny about it.
You know, I know at least 6 comics that have committed suicide.
Like, personally, you
and
know.
And 7, including present company soon. So, yeah, no.
Don't say that,
Jimmy. I tease, man. I winked. But no, I know a lot of guys that do it. I think the Chris Rock once said to me, people, he said, ignorance is bliss. He goes, that's why being a comedian is torture, because you notice everything. And he wasn't saying comedians are smarter. He was just saying we notice. You notice everything, every slight, every inconsistency. It's like, ugh. So I think you just get sick of noticing things in yourself that suck.
And then what do you, then that's it?
And that's it, buddy.
Huh?
That's all she wrote.
I mean, I just see that a common theme where
I'm
like,
you a question.
Man, yes, Jimmy.
If a guy goes on a date recently, and a girl's talking,
go ahead.
And she says, have you ever had anything shoved in your ass? And you honestly say, yes, I have. And then she cuts the date short a little later. Should you have lied? I'm asking for a friend. Oh, shit. Pop lock. Oh, boy. Yes, sir.
Well, why would she ask that now?
I don't remember I wouldn't know. It wasn't me.
If you ever had... Well, listen, I think she's way out of line.
No, I think she was 100%
her loss.
Right. No, it's whoever the guy she was with, his loss.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, was it? She was lovely.
Pretty.
Tiny. Juicy.
Oh, I'm a butt man.
I got the hug goodbye, though, the type of hug where they Roger Rabbit lady duck their ass back so your genitals don't come within 4 feet of them. Like, my aunt has given me sexier hugs.
Oh, I love a big, big hiney.
Me too. I got to pee.
I gotta go. All right, I got a pizza.
What do you say we go in there and sword fight?
No!
This is UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports UFC Unfiltered. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, it's important to work with someone you can trust who has your best interest in mind. And with Rocket Mortgage, you'll get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial info to get mortgage approval in minutes. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. Whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/unfiltered. That's quickenloans.com/unfiltered. An equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Matt, I know you don't. Here's the beautiful thing for anyone that missed out.
Oh.
Earlier, there was a dog bite. We took a quick pee break.
Yeah.
A lot has happened here. There's a lot of shit that went down. Now, there was a dog barking before. I don't know if you guys heard it a couple times. It's a little dog they have in the office out there yapping. It yapped once during the Cody Garbrandt interview, and then Chris, the producer, ran out. And I don't know what happened, but I heard a yelp and then no more barking. So Chris did something with his shoe.
You're not going to hear anything.
Now, in the bathroom break, Matt's out there talking to his friend.
Yeah.
And Matt gets yelled at. Some guy comes
definitely
out and
not
shushes
at.
Matt.
Definitely
all right,
not
yeah,
yelled at.
Point.
I don't want to exaggerate.
You wouldn't have tolerated that.
No, I'm not. I don't like that. I don't
Matt
like,
gets screamed at.
I don't like getting shushed either. We're not a fucking movie theater. And, and first of all, when I'm waiting in front of the bathroom talking to Sensei Edgar, my Sensei Edgar's my he's my
Brazilian
affiliate. No, he's Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rico, sorry.
He does if you ever wanna if you're ever in Puerto Rico. And what is it? Carbarojo? How do you pronounce that?
Fucking, I don't know.
It's the west side of the island. But I got like two affiliates, man. I know why people get affiliates. Like if you're a jiu-jitsu guy and you have like a well like established like a name and whatnot, like people get affiliates like they're going out of style. But not me, man. I have to know my guys because I'm not having somebody go own a Sarah BJJ school and just be some kind of asshole.
Well, get to know some people. I'll start one. I don't teach jiu-jitsu, but I'll open one.
You absolutely will not.
Sarah BJJ, why not? I'm
you
a good
or
guy.
Chip.
Oh, Chip should do it.
I don't know why I got a problem with that guy.
I don't know.
You'll
be honest.
Me
podcast.
And you are like two peas in
I
a
love
pod.
You.
I look at Chip's face. I want to smack him, and it's got a face like yours.
I know.
And I love you.
You got to be on the podcast.
I don't know if it's going to work out, Jimmy.
I think it will.
It might
why
get
not?
A lot of views.
What are you scared?
No, don't do that. It's fucking.
All right.
God, I'm glad you're back. Swear. I don't know why, but yeah, I don't like getting shushed either. Because there's listen when we're on the phone outside, Jimmy. I know that Chip face. There's usually a sign that says, a thing that says recording. The thing was didn't say recording. So what's his name? I don't know. The big guy, nice guy though. But
I don't want to
throw
Stipe
on the bus.
Miocic.
But the guy opens up the thing. He opens up and he just puts his finger to his lips.
Wow.
So listen, we're not in a movie theater. We're not in a library, cocksucker. Get the fuck back in there before I kick you in there.
Yeah. Do you want it to fucking?
That's what I wanted. That all went through my mind. In a split second.
Put your foot on his chest and just push him.
Just be like, I just wanted to get his hit my hand and make like I was going to like give him a high five and mush his face, push him in the door and fucking just kick it shut.
Yeah.
All right, I'm back, Jimmy.
I don't blame you.
Why do I get so upset?
Because you don't like being shushed.
No, don't
you're
shush
not a movie
me.
Theater.
I'm not a fucking child.
You're a grown man.
All right, hey, listen, we're on the air. We're on the air. You know, how about that? Hey, Matt, we're on the air. Sorry.
I didn't like that either. He shushed Matt like
yeah,
Matt was a
me.
Child.
Like I'm a fucking bad child in a movie theater.
Cream.
How about this? Get the fuck back in there and shut the door. Just shut. Don't even look at me. Shut the door.
Exactly.
Fuck you and your finger.
Right. Shushed you like you were out there knocking on the door for Halloween candy.
All right, I'm back.
Wowee. Hey, babe.
I'm back. Jimmy.
Who is that?
Can I tell you again?
God damn,
Jimmy,
is she hot?
Jimmy, it's not,
girl
it's, not
outside
it's,
the window.
It's not one-way glass. I think you think it's a one-way mirror.
No,
they
she's
see
outside
us
the window.
They see
pretty.
Us.
Also, as we found out with the dog, it's not sound, you know, I mean.
Nah.
They know.
She didn't hear.
And sometimes they're playing this inside. So the one who shushed me, fuck yourself.
Well, he can't. He listens to the podcast.
Oh, he's in the other room. When you listen.
Imagine if he just shushed you.
If you listen
meditating.
To this, the next time I come in, it's going to be very awkward. But seriously. Fuck you.
You don't come up into digital media and talk to a man like Matt Serra like that.
No, I didn't come. I didn't take the Long Island Railroad, the subway, and come here and get shushed.
Yeah.
You understand? Mixed That's martial right. arts, pop culture.
Exactly. He fucking, that was Mo
know?
Green. That was Mo Green.
Yeah.
That was Mike talking to Mo Green.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. You don't talk to a guy. And Chris, the producer, should just walk out and they go, you don't talk to a guy like Mo Green like that,
yeah.
Mikey.
You don't talk to a guy with a second degree black belt like that.
It's actually fourth degree, but hey, who's
is it
counting?
Fourth degree?
Who's counting?
I didn't know that.
You gotta ask Master Hensel Gracie.
Edit that out.
Yeah.
No, keep that in.
No, here. Fourth. Put that in.
Keep that in.
Perfect.
Fourth.
At least I think it's fourth. I gotta get Hensel Gracie on.
Oh, you don't even know. All right, cool.
No,
so
is,
you don't know
is.
How should I be.
I don't listen. All I know is I'm taking limbs. I'm escaping back control.
what degree would Master Hensel be?
Oh, fuck. Don't hit me with these tough questions.
What do you think?
You don't know your own masters. You know what I know? I know that Hensel's a bad mother jumper.
Can he still tap you?
I'm sure he could.
Is he a,
I'm sure
a
he
sixth
could.
Degree black belt?
I don't know.
What's the and highest I, and you
that,
go and to?
People might say that's sad that you don't
no,
know.
No, you don't know. You,
but you know what I do know?
What?
I know that he's my guy.
That's right.
I know that I take a bullet for him. Not a lot of people. It's like, guys shooting at him. Guess what I do? Jump right in front like a Secret Service.
Oh, there's Lainey.
Huh?
Oh, who's the broad?
Hey.
Oh, who's the young lady?
Do you know them or no?
I know the one girl. I
who
know Lainey. I don't
who's
know
Lainey?
Who the blonde is, but
who's
she better
Lainey?
Start introducing me.
Who's Lainey?
Lainey books a lot of porn stars.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Who's
hi,
that
Lainey?
Young lady? Oh, sorry. We got Dustin Poirier on the phone. Dustin, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
Good, buddy. Sorry, we're looking at a blonde out through the window.
Not me. I'm a husband and a father.
That's
what's
true.
Up, Dustin?
Matt's looking at me. So, Dustin, now is it? I got heard two different versions of your last name, Poirier or Poirier. How do you prefer it pronounced?
Poirier.
It is. I thought
there
so. Okay. Chris, the producer, was telling us Poirier. I'm like, no, the R is not silent. Okay, man. So you're gearing up for Eddie Alvarez. It's a tremendous. You guys are the main event in the prelims. It's a tremendous card.
Yes.
In Dallas, you're gonna have a lot of eyes on this fight.
For sure, man. It's a big one. A lot of people saying the biggest card of the year, and it's awesome because you know, I grew up 6 hours away from there, the 6 hour drive, so be kind of close to home.
And you're fighting. This is Eddie's first fight since losing his belt to Conor in Madison Square Garden. And I was at that fight, and I've said this before. It really seemed like the moment, because Eddie is a very tough guy, as you know, and it seemed like the moment got to him a little bit, or overwhelmed him, or whatever it was. How did you feel? I'm sure you saw that fight. What were your feelings on that?
Yeah, you know, I think he fought like Eddie usually does. Well, it depends. Sometimes he goes out there and wrestles more, but he kind of fought like he usually does, lunges in with his right hand, and, you know, Conor just countered him clean, smooth.
And you had you lost the thing in common with your two last losses is Conor and Michael Johnson. Both are southpaws, and both kind of did they get into your head a little bit?
Does what?
Meaning, you were a little bit angry because you've talked about being an emotional fighter, and were you
right.
react? Were you reacting more out of anger against those two, which might have hurt you?
100%, yeah, I definitely was, and I know that, and I've addressed that, and you're gonna see a cool, calm, collected fighter next weekend, man. It's gonna be something beautiful.
How do you address that? Like, is it something that you like? And not to be corny, but do you go to therapy for that, or do you sit with your coaches, or how do you say like, I can't allow the anger because it feels right, but it's hurting me in the moment?
Right. Yeah. It makes me do stuff that I normally wouldn't do. It makes me make mistakes. You know, I'm way better fighter than that. And when I get mad and get emotional and fight with a lot of emotion like that, it blinds me a little bit and make big mistakes. But yeah, you know, I have a mental coach and just growing as a person. I have a daughter now. She's teaching me patience. It's just life, pretty much. Life makes you better.
And is it bad for guys to know that that gets to you? Because at least you were very open about it. And is it bad now to guys can know, like, hey, we can do this to this guy and put him off his game a little bit, or think they can?
Nah, because ultimately I'm in control of me, so whatever they do, you know, it has to go through me. I have to be the one to make myself upset or emotional or angry, but I'm in the driver's seat, bro.
Okay, that's good.
And I'll tell you, you do a really good job of, a lot of guys, when they stumble in there, they have a hard time, you know, getting back up on the horse. When you lost that fight to Conor, you came back and you, man, had an impressive five-fight win streak, which was awesome. And then, you know, you get a little bump in the road, which is the very respectable Michael Johnson. And then you came back and had fight of the night and a great performance versus Jim Miller. So
right.
What do you think that is, man, when you do a little stumble and you come back and you're looking better than ever? Because some guys don't possess that.
That's right.
Yeah, man, you know, some guys can come back from a loss, you're right, but I just have self-belief and I just stay true. You know, I'm really in this sport to win it and be in it for the long run. It's a marathon, you know. So I just pace myself and just believe in myself. It's tough what we do, man. Fight the best guys in the world. One mistake, you can lose. And, you know, I always go back to the drawing board, reassess, make adjustments. And I think every time I lose, it shows. The adjustments are made, and I come back better.
And when you lost to Conor, you lost at featherweight. So did the jump up to lightweight? Did you have a tough weight cut that time, or did that affect you at all in that fight? Because like you said, Matt said you went on a five fight win streak when you jumped up.
What fight? The Conor fight?
Yeah,
Every time I cut the 45, it was a tough weight cut. You know, I walk around 180, so it was every cut was tough.
And Jim Miller, you had an injury in that fight. What exactly happened to you, and how are you?
I'm fine. The muscles on the right side of my shin got super swollen, and there was a lot of pressure built up in there. They called it compartmental syndrome or something like that, I think. And if the swelling doesn't go down, it could damage muscle and nerves and stuff like that. But everything's good and everything was great. There's no breaks or nothing like that. It was just swelling really bad.
Now, you know, you've been in Eddie Alvarez's shoes before with that big, huge spotlight on you. Not to bring that shit up again, dude. I hate that, because you did go back and you redeemed yourself. You had that, you had that five fight win streak, like I said, and I was there for your Bobby Green fight. You had some great fights in that streak. Oh. Now Eddie's where you're at. You know, Eddie got embarrassed. So Eddie has, and Eddie's a warrior, but there's no mistake about it. So Eddie's definitely, you know, his mindset now is, hey man, I not only have to win, I have to make a statement, because that wasn't me at MSG last fight. That's how he has to go at this. So, I mean, does it make any difference to you knowing that he's like, you got the monkey off your back again? Like, in other words, you lost that fight with Michael Johnson, you went back and you redeemed yourself. I'm not saying you're less hungry, but how does it feel knowing that this guy's coming at you like, look man, I need to win this fight?
You know, that doesn't have anything to do with me, honestly. You know, it's up to him. I'm going to fight my fight. If he's going to be in there emotional, thinking it's all on the line, this might be his last fight. You know, if he's going in there thinking that, then he's going to get his ass whipped. If he's going in there thinking smooth and clean, he's going to get his ass whipped either way, you know. like I said, I'm in the driver's seat, man. Tune in next weekend.
Yeah, and it's funny, and it's on the it's headlining the FX prelims,
yes,
at 8 p.m. Eastern. And we talked about that on here, because we were talking about that, and Jimmy's like, man, how come this is not on the main card? And then we were talking. I go, I feel, because you, first of all, a lot more people are going to see it on FX, and then they're going to be like, yo, that's why they have this is an amazing matchup with you and Eddie. So I'm thinking that's the last fight they're going to see. They're going to be wanting to buy the pay-per-view. So that's why I think you're in that spot. Do you give a shit about not being on the main card, or?
Nah, you know how it is in the old days. If you're on the main card, you got big sponsorship money and stuff like that, but it's a different day and age in the UFC now. And I kind of rather fight there. Get to fight earlier, get done earlier, get to watch the rest of the fights, you know. You know how it is when you fight late on the main card.
Yeah.
It's 1 o'clock when you're getting out the arena. You're scrambling to find everybody, and, you know, you got family waiting on you out there. This time I'll be able to fight, get back to the locker room, take a shower, and enjoy the rest of the show. And like you said, possibly more people are going to watch this fight on the prelims as well.
Yeah.
So the money is the same. More people are going to see it. I'll be done early. Well, you know, it's good.
It's funny. I've always felt the same way when I used to fight. I fought a prelims a bunch of times, and I'm like, yo, I never gave a shit. I'm like, good, man, get it done with. That's funny.
I have a question for you too, Dustin. Just to go back one more time, because it was something about the psychology of what you said. You said that it really, you fought angry, and Conor smiled at you backstage the night you were supposed to fight him, and that really messed with your head. Was it a sarcastic smile, or was it just like a, hey, there's the guy I'm fighting smile?
I don't know, man.
Oh, you know, okay.
I don't know.
I was curious about that, because that was such an interesting quote that you said, that got into your head. I love the fact that you're very honest about that, because a lot of guys don't want to talk about the things that bother them or the things that affect them.
Right, man. I honestly have nothing to hide, man. This is fighting. What can I hide? You know, everything is going to be put on the line and showed. Nothing can be faked or lied about once we get in there. So, you know, it's all good.
What do you think about the state of the division right now? I mean, you know, you got Conor's not fighting right now. Khabib is in limbo. Dos Anjos is going to welterweight. Nate's MIA. You know, what do you think?
I think I have a get past Eddie next weekend, and I have a clean, a good chance of being right there with the top of those guys, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very tough guy to get through next weekend. I don't know why Eddie hasn't fought since then, if he was waiting for the right fight. But it does seem like everything is kind of up in the air, and there's a lot of room to advance to whoever wins this fight.
No doubt about that, man. It's this is probably one of the craziest divisions right now, with them maybe making an interim belt and then the champion not fighting. And, no telling what's going to happen. Anything can happen in this sport, man. So we'll see in a couple months. But after this next weekend, it'll be clearer.
Well, this is I believe May 13th. Am I correct about that, Chris? May 13th in Dallas on the JDS Miocic fight. And we're looking forward to watching you fight. You and Eddie Alvarez headlining the FS1 prelims.
It's the FX.
FX prelims. And, you know, you're a great fighter, and Eddie's a great fighter, and this is this could easily be a co-main event. So I'm really looking forward to this one, man.
Me too, homie.
I appreciate it, man.
Okay, we'll talk to you again, Dustin. Take care.
Thanks, Dustin. Thanks,
bro. Yep.
Bye, buddy.
Yep.
Take care, man.
Yeah, there's so many good fights in that card, man. That one I'm really looking forward to. But I don't know why I asked that. I had written that question down about that smile. Because
that's something you found
really
interesting.
I was really curious as to his ability to talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
So many guys get bothered by things, whether it's this, whether it's that, but they don't open up about it. And he's like, nah, man, here's what it is.
It's true, man.
I can't wait to talk to Eddie. We're talking to Eddie next week?
Yeah.
I really like Eddie Alvarez, and I really want to hear his take on that fight.
Hey, that's true, man, because we really, have we spoken to him since his fight?
We've not.
No.
We have not.
So that's very interesting. I really want to see where his head's at, because it was such a beautiful fight by Connor, and it really just put him into that status of holy shit, man. This guy's he's talking shit, but it really just was so perfect for him, and it was such a disaster for Eddie. And Eddie, you know, right? It's such a, this is why this game is so devastating. The fight before that, he became champion. He beat RDA, yeah, man, and that's no easy feint. And he did easy. A task, and he did that. It was the first round, man. And we were there for that. You were there.
It was a Thursday night fight, yeah.
Man, that was something else. And then he went from that to that. So it's such extreme. I mean, look at Luke Rockhold.
That's right.
Went from beating my guy Chris Weidman and having a fantastic fight,
getting caught by Bisping,
and then losing to Michael Bisping. It's just such a extreme highs and lows.
That's why anybody who puts together a streak like John Jones, where as far as I'm concerned, he's undefeated. Because of his one loss, was that he was destroying, was it Mitrione?
No, it was Matt Hamill.
It was Matt Hamill. Yeah. With the elbow. I mean, killing him. Yeah. And so as far as I'm concerned, he's undefeated. Yeah. It was like Fedor for a long time. Had lost one fight on some weird disqualification that he should have won. The guy should have been disqualified. You know, it's so hard to put together a streak of more than six. Because now, you know, Anderson Silva had the streak for, seven straight wins or seven defenses. Yeah. And you realize how amazing it is what Demetrius Johnson's doing or anybody who's winning more than six or seven fights in a row.
Al Iaquinta has five fights in a row.
Does he have five in a row?
Five?
Yeah.
I'm just plugging my boy.
I understand. How's he doing after this whole thing?
He's on vacation with some chick. Listen.
Good for him.
The guy's living life, you know. But
our experience with chicks is probably a lot different. Al probably has a much easier time meeting young ladies than I do.
Yeah, we threw it for that guy. Look at him. Look at that guy.
Wait, you're supposed to say, hey,
he's
Jim.
A bit of a bad boy. Oh, what? I'm supposed to give us a guy.
Yeah, you're not supposed to say,
look at Jimmy, you know what we got? Personality. P for personality.
You know what personality gets you?
What?
In a room with Chris and Matt.
Vagina?
No.
I'm married.
Are you happily?
I always throw that in there.
I know.
Go ahead.
You're happily married.
I don't want to sound like an animal.
No, you know, you sound like a good
guy. I am an animal. I am.
By the way, Cub Swanson revealed he broke his hand.
Oh, no.
In that Artem Lobov fight. It's the 10th time I've broken my hand right now, so it's been a little bit of a problem. I was only throwing single shots because he had the hardest head. Every time I was hitting him, by the third, fourth, and fifth rounds, every time I hit him, my hands were just aching. Turns out, one of my hands was broke. Tough motherfucker, man. Cub Swanson.
He's delivering lately,
Jesus
man.
Christ.
I'll tell you, last couple of fights are just, fun.
He is.
Just fun.
What a tough guy. Oh, and Cyborg and Invicta FC Women's Featherweight Champion Megan Anderson have verbally agreed to fight each other in Anaheim at UFC 214. The UFC has not made an official decision on a bout between the two of them at all. And Nate Marquardt against Vitor Belfort has been announced. Is there a date for that or no?
Yeah, that's UFC 212. Yeah.
Oh, Aldo Versalle. Okay, great.
Yeah.
In Brazil.
And that should be Vitor's retirement fight.
Is he retiring?
Yeah. I mean, it's the end of his contract, and it seems like that's the retirement. You know.
Okay. So. Who else is on that card? Sorry, Matt.
Go ahead.
That's the Holloway Aldo.
Is the main event, sure.
Anderson is supposed to be
on
that card.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Yeah.
Which was the main event?
Holloway Aldo is the main event, yeah.
Unless Anderson fought GSP.
Yeah, but I don't know. He can't be ready that quick. I don't think GSP wouldn't. So,
I see Marco Polo's fighting in this fucking thing versus James Vick. That guy's got to be tough, Marco Polo.
Yeah.
You know?
Growing
up with that name?
Yeah.
The guy must have hated the pool. Let's go swimming, little Marco. No, mama. Come on, don't you want to go to the beach?
No, I don't.
No, I want to go to the playground.
Why Marco Polo?
Why am I an asshole?
You're not an asshole. It's a
why do I
question.
Make myself laugh, Jimmy, and nobody else?
Because you make me laugh. I enjoy you.
I enjoy you a lot. Does that guy look like he's having a good time?
No, he doesn't.
Fake smile.
He prefers having a good time.
All right, guys.
Well, this was fun.
Marco, it's fun.
Oh, by the way, on that June 3rd card, Claudia Gadea versus Carolina Kowalkiewicz is also on there. So that's a good card.
Where's the June 3rd card?
It's in Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, right. The Holloway Aldo.
Yeah.
Okay. That is a great fight. I'm looking forward to Andrade against Jan Jacek.
Yeah. I'm looking. Oh, yeah. Listen,
in Dallas. Ooh, he's had a good fucking card. Who else on that? Frankie against Yair Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. And who else is on that main card? I don't have it.
Henry Cerruto versus Sergio Pettis, which is
right,
a good fight.
Right.
Yeah. And dude, Damian Maia versus Jorge Masvidal.
Oh my God, Masvidal. Yes.
Dude, that is, dude. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm gonna be. I can't wait for this.
How do they have so... And I say this every week. Forgive my redundancy. How does UFC have so many fights that I like?
We're going to have a party at the Sarah House again.
I'd love to make it.
Yeah, you're invited.
Oh, I hope so.
Listen, I didn't tell my wife yet, but I'm going to have a party.
Maybe I'll bring a young lady.
Usually
I got
to check my wife. Chris, the producer, you're going to be invited too this time.
Oh, I'd love to.
Maybe I'll bring a young lady.
The guy in the... What, young lady?
Can I bring a young lady?
Yeah, I don't judge anything.
Thank you.
But just don't... Not what a really... I don't want to have to explain things to my kids too early. I don't judge. Bring whoever you want.
No, I understand.
But not with a bulge in the pants.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Go, what is that? The nice lady had her wallet in the front pocket, I think.
No, I understand.
I'm only kidding. Bring whoever you want. I don't judge. I'm not that way. Jimmy, I accept you for whatever.
Yeah.
Don't be upset, Jimmy. Bring whoever you want.
I'm debating because I have nobody of any gender to bring. Nobody wants to come. Nobody wants to come with me. Maybe if I go to Matt Sarah's house.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, again... I feel like a little kid. I have to tell my wife first. Well, you know, you're not the one who's got to clean up. No, she doesn't sound like that.
No, she doesn't.
But she does.
Happily married man.
Yeah, I know. We've been having a lot of relations. Yeah. Yeah, Jimmy. Last night.
Do you like that before you go to sleep?
Oh.
Does it help you knock out?
Love it.
How long did you last?
Love it. It wasn't bad.
Ten minutes?
Yeah, you don't want to make it like, you know, it doesn't have to be my third workout of the day.
Yeah, I understand.
It's just a good time, man.
I don't ever break a sweat.
Oh, no, I was sweating.
Oh, I'm not.
Pow. I was, you know, breaking into a gorilla stance. I'll tell you later on.
Please
listen
do.
To me. Everybody, I think we're almost done.
I agree. I got to tinkle again. This was a fun one.
It always is.
Don't forget the Ultimate Fighter. Team Garbrandt against Team Dillashaw. We've heard from TJ. We've heard from Cody. They are at odds. A great, great season for the Ultimate Fighter. And we also have, I guess we're plugging the main card in Dallas. That was great to talk to Dustin Poirier
That's for the May 13th card.
May 13th. Yes, in Dallas. Fighting Eddie Alvarez, who we're finally going to talk to next week, who I really am dying to catch up with after that loss to Conor.
This really is an
amazing card. I felt really bad for him.
This really is an amazing card. I feel bad for him too. But
not that he lost, but that he went out like that. Yeah. You lose a fight, you lose a fight. But that that's not how he wants to go.
Well, you know he's got to be a man on a mission.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, because the opposite swing of that, like if Eddie beat Conor, it's just like a life changing win. You know what I mean? Not that being a champion isn't great, but you know it's tough.
In other words, Chris Bedouce is saying it's a tough sport.
He's not wrong.
Yes.
He's definitely not.
He booed my erections before.
That, I'll tell you right now, that might have been the best thing he ever did.
I don't know why he did. All I said, Matt just broke.
I did not.
How does that not get booed?
What's the matter?
Matt's farts don't get booed. But I get booed. All I say is, I have erection problems.
I got a little whoopee cushion. I'm sitting on it. I'm not really doing that. Right. But, and listen, while we're giving plugs, only because I never mentioned, I told you I got a couple affiliates. Let me give them some love. And if you're in Myrtle Beach, you might be traveling through Myrtle Beach. Visit my buddy Frankie Patches over there at Myrtle Beach. Sarah BJJ Myrtle Beach. And also Sarah BJJ Puerto Rico. You can look them up on Facebook. I like to give love because these are my guys, man. These aren't strangers I met through the internet. Go, hey, can I do an affiliate? Who knows? Maybe I'll do that one day. But I'm not going to listen. These guys are good guys, and they know how to teach some jiu-jitsu. I love jiu-jitsu. Yeah, but we know that already. We established
that.
You're
great at it.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's all I got.
That's all I got, too. This was fun. Thank you, guys. Thanks to Cody and Dustin for calling in. Thank you, Matt, for being you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, that dumb dog, for barking. And the nerve of that guy to shush Matt. That will be handled.
Exactly. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy. And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.